Milk Bottle Audio presents The Museum of Tat, devised by Robert Crichton, with Michael Foles. Hello and welcome to The Museum of Tat. I'm Professor Geoffrey Collins, curator of The Museum of Tat. I should introduce my colleague. This is Colin Jeffries, Professor of Tat at Sheffield University. And today we have quite an exciting thing to look at, haven't we?
Yes, we do indeed, Jeffrey. Yes, we've got quite a few interesting things to look at.
Yes, so here we have...
amazing.
I mean, how would you describe this particular piece?
Well, how would anyone describe it?
Well, it's roughly spherical.
Yes. Roughly. I mean, that much is true.
Yes, as we have the sort of dome motif on the top in clear. I think we can say that safely. That's glass.
Or at least glass substitute.
Yes, yeah, some. But it's definitely not made of plastic.
No.
I think we can safely say it's... And then there's a spherical base around the bottom.
Yes.
And if you could just hold it.
Of course.
Just give it an approximate measurement of the bottom. So it's about 4.5 inches across. And in terms of height, if I just ask you to hold it there, we're talking... it's about... Surprisingly, it's nearly 6 inches high. And you wouldn't think that to look at it, actually. It's quite a substantial object.
It's quite a bulky piece of tat, if you don't mind me saying.
And the reason I dug this out of the archive today to discuss is this tat? Because, of course, what we are holding is a snow globe. Well, we call it a snow globe. Would you describe the snow substitute inside as technically snow?
Well... Technically, I'm just going by what I know, but I usually like my snow to be white
and
snow-like, I suppose.
Yes.
Is the term.
And whereas this we could call a more greeny, bluey, a yellow, maybe. Who's
hints of it? It's glittery.
I think actually, technically, it's semi see-through. I think actually it's the directionality of the light is creating a different. I mean, it is in a sense almost beautiful.
Almost being the operative word. Yes,
absolutely. So within the snow globe, we have this glittery reflective surface type snow, and quite an impressive air bubble at the top. In fact, if we could just measure that air bubble.
Air bubble, of course. Yes.
That's nearly 2 inches in diameter. So that's quite an achievement.
I think we should really talk about the children inside
the two children who have been drowned inside this snow glitter globe, because they're not really smiling.
They're not happy about being submerged in water and stuck in a globe, really.
No, I mean they're quite ambiguous faces.
If I was sitting there as a child, I mean, ignoring the fact that I'm trapped in a glass perspex sphere, but I was surrounded by glitter snow, I think I'd be jolly well impressed.
I'd be afraid. I mean, it's the fact that they have no eye protection on at all against I think quite pointy, quite sharp snow substitute glitter stuff.
Clearly it's not modern, and health and safety wasn't such an issue back in the old days.
No, but then again, there is a question of age as well. We can return to that issue.
Of course.
So the female, the young female, is wearing and it's a yellow dotted black dress. Both figures are sat on some kind of suitcase, quite a rounded suitcase. It almost looks like a hat box.
And sturdy to support the weight of two children who don't look very thin.
They
look well fed.
In fact, I'm going to suggest, now this might be a radical thought, but the young man, and I think we can suggest he is male, though that could just be the gendered clothing that he's wearing, because the face isn't wholly convincing. But he's wearing quite a large... It's quite a female hat, traditional...
It is. And it's such a wide brim.
Exactly.
It's a shame we can't get the ruler inside.
Indeed. But I'm going to I'm going to go out on a limb here and suggest that possibly the hat is actually from the hat box that they are sitting on.
Ah, oh, yes, of course. Well, that would explain it.
And, yes, yes. And she is also holding flowers. So quite a gendered piece.
Yeah.
I think it's making a statement about gender. I mean, is that a radical thing, do we think? Do you think that was in the mind of the artist when he or she created the work?
Well, I don't think back in the past they had gender.
Indeed.
But I'm slightly worried about what's in the case now.
Well, in the sense that something must be supporting their weight.
Something must be supporting. Now, it's a small dog or maybe a small... Maybe a baby or something. There's sinister overtones with this. I can look in his
eyes. You're suggesting that despite the polka dot dress,
yes.
That in fact this is explicitly referencing Jamie Bulger.
Well, I not for me to say. I'm just a simple observer of this piece. Mm. But yeah, I think strong overtones there.
And looking at the base, the dais on which this globe is attached,
we have
a selection of flowers of differing size. We've got two large flowers either side, and then a selection of smaller ones underneath. Now,
it's daisy-like, would you say?
I'd say very daisy-like.
There's a name. The artist,
presumably, or the victim, is a Kim Anderson, and so the company is Gobel, and this is where the question of whether this is actually Tad.
Yes.
Because this is currently classified as a not necessarily a canonical piece of work, but it is kept in the museum as a reference point for other much more definite pieces of canonised Tad.
Right.
So because this is actually not an inexpensive item. This isn't something that you could just pay a few quid for. This is something which actually has some prestige in other cultures.
So
the question is, and I think question that ultimately the Museum of Tat is very interested in, and in your own research you've published over the years, is how much of Tat is ultimately cultural? One man's art is another man's Tat. Now, we classify this as Tat. Artist, Kim Anderson. Obviously is suggesting that this is art. But I think most right-minded human beings would classify this as fundamentally an abomination.
Again, generalisation, but I think you've pretty much hit the proverbial on the proverbial.
In fact, I would almost go as far as to suggest that giving this as a present to anyone could be almost a crime.
Unless, of course, it's someone you particularly detested, and
indeed,
make an excellent. Oh my lord, we're going round there for a birthday dinner. I'd forgotten all about it. I need to give him a present. What can I give them? This. I mean, it's substantial. Mm-hmm.
You can't say it's not a substantial gift.
Yes.
And more importantly, if you did give this to someone who you particularly loathed, it would ultimately be a much more efficient way of saying how much you hated them.
Oh, yes.
As opposed to, say, tattooing the word twat on their head.
Yes. As I found out to my
to your cost.
Destructive towards it. I don't know about indestructive. I would rather like to destroy the piece. I mean,
yeah. Oddly enough, that is a common feeling around the museum.
Probably just me, but do you feel the hairs rising? You'd like to get slightly, well, tetchy, I suppose, is an overused word.
Tetchy, aggressive, yes. Possibly militant. It's definitely, I think, a radicalising item.
Yes.
So that's the snow globe we've been looking at today. And if you have any donations for the Museum of Tat, then do get in touch with us online. Don't send us any items physically.
No.
We will just sell them on eBay for profit.
Or destroy them if they're anything
or
like
just
this.
put them in the furnace, because that's we have running costs.
I am starting to get a migraine. Could we put
it back.
Thank you.
In its box. Oh. So I'd just like to thank Colin for his assistance with me today, and we hope you will hear from us again very soon. The Museum of Tat can now be found on Twitter at Museum of Tat.